Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, maybe. So hi, my name is Vivian Aqua and I'm a certified diversity, equity and inclusion consultant and trainer. I support so many companies with their DEI strategies and initiatives as well. I know that a lot is happening in the world at the moment right now, and I just shared a post this morning about we need to fix the empathy deficit that is happening in the world all over. So if you want to have more inspiration or want to learn what I shared, please look at the post that I shared earlier today. And I also want to address the talent shortages, because to me, it seems like so many companies are not yet realizing or are not aware of the talent shortages that is going to be worse every year from now on. So there is a huge talent shortage in Europe, where so many leaders and so many companies are facing challenges by not being able to fulfill their business goals or their team goals. This is the reason why. This is, you know, which direction do I need to point? This is the reason why. I know I've seen it in our mirrors. So this is the reason why the talent shortage is there, and it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse. So today, I am excited to have this conversation with Clancy. But before I introduce him, I want to share something. So it is important to boost DEI, but oftentimes I hear so many people talking about, okay, how do I do it? How do I do it in a sustainable way? Where do I start? What do I do? And I also realized you cannot always hire me to do that, right? I come with a fee, I come with a price, I come with an investment, but I also understand that you have a budget to be mindful of. So I have created these Amplify DEI cards. One is the pink one is the self cards, which you can work on yourself. And the blue one is the corporate one, which you can work with your teams as well. So these are, let's say, reflection prompts, coaching prompts that you can use to maximize inclusion within your organization as well. And for those who know me, you know I talk a lot about food. And of course, I'm going to bring some flavor into this conversation. So for you, you can create your own DEI team recipe where you can use the different categories that are in the card. So like unaware, aware, and action. But also know that each card comes with an intensity. So intensity level of mild or spicy or hot, you choose whatever card you want to use. And know that the cards, some of the cards contain a QR code that you can use to, which will lead you to the Amplify DEI Micro Academy. So for instance, if you want to learn more about, you picked a card regarding calling in, there is a video directing to the calling in part, calling in and calling out, so that people can learn more about the topic as well. Know that there is a special offer at the moment right now where you, when you buy bulk, you get also an Ask Me Anything session or maybe a keynote session. So please go to bit.ly, /capital letters AMPDEI cards. And it stands for end of year. So EOY24, and then you can get the offer as well. So I just wanted to share that with you, and that's where the promo ends. And I want to bring in Clancy at the moment right now. Who is Clancy? Well, let me introduce him properly. So Clancy, with over 20 years of proven leadership experience, Clancy brings in a strategic mindset and a track record of transforming challenges into success. His approach combines innovation and resilience, ensuring that every hurdle becomes an opportunity for growth and achievement. So welcome, Clancy, to today's conversation. We recently met and we were having a conversation about leadership. And also throughout that conversation, the topic came to mind, like building bridges, how psychological safety enhances workplace inclusion. But before I start with that, I want to learn from you, why do we need to humanize the workplace?
Yeah. First of all, Vivian, thank you so much for having me here today. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely a great pleasure to have this platform, to have a chit chat with you, and of course, mm-hmm. To share knowledge with both parts of our both parties' audience. So thank you so much for that. So let me dive straight into the question posed. It's very, 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 very important and mm-hmm. very, very critical when it comes to, humanized workplace. One could probably dive into the aspect of having a nice environment, right? Mm-hmm. But that is not all. It's about fostering culture, where individuals feel, you know, valued and understood and supported, right? So this is for me very, very important headline. Why, you know, the workplace needs to be, you know, humanized. When people feel genuinely seen as humans, not just employees, you know, they tend to bring more of their true selves to work. Mm-hmm.
It reminds me of the quote, happy cows bring in more milk, right? And that's literally the case, right? Even though I don't want to refer to people as cows, it says something about when people are happy, when people are thriving, they bring in more of themselves, or they engage more with other people. And then the workplace engagement or employee engagement goes up as well. Yeah.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. And of course, you know, building that kind of authentic human-centered culture isn't just a beneficial thing, right? It's a necessity. Mm-hmm. It's a necessity thing that has to be installed.
Yeah, definitely. So going up to the next question, because we talked about psychological safety and it brought this question to mind, like, in what ways can psychological safety boost employee innovation and productivity? Because given the fact that, just a little FYI, I've learned from Clancy that he worked in the IT domain. And one of the things that the IT field or the technical field is known for is innovation, creativity, and also with that, productivity, right? So in what ways can psychological safety boost employee innovation and productivity?
Cool. So in my own experience and over the course of 2 decades in the IT industry, I can firmly, you know, clear the notion that psychological safety is the foundation for innovation and productivity. 100%, you know, notion about it. But when, you know, employees feel safe to express ideas without fear of judgment or retaliation, right, they are more likely to share new concepts and challenges that status quo. This freedom, you know, could contribute or lead to a natural increase in problem solving and creativity. So, you know, this is some of the things that I would encourage and urge, you know, leaders to really support, to wave their energy behind it. Because honestly, in a world of innovation and productivity, the foundation is a psychological safety.
Yeah, definitely. And it also goes to show, like, Amy Edmondson did a research for Google, right, where she shared, like, the teams that felt psychologically safe were better, were able to innovate better. They were able to create more tools for Google as well. And there's so much to psychological safety. It's even the foundation before you start with DEI to make sure that people are psychologically safe as well. So, okay, let's bring it into the leaders, right? So what role does leadership play into fostering an inclusive and psychological safe workplace?
Yeah, so look,
Were you smiling? Because people want to know why.
I love this particular statement or the question that you've just posed, because look, leadership plays a lot of role in various I would say functions in the corporate world or in the business as a whole, right? But leaders are set to set a tone for psychological safety.
The temperature for the oven, yes.
Exactly, and inclusiveness, right? Yeah. Leaders who model vulnerability as well, and respect and openness, encourage those same values, you know, throughout the team. And again, these are three key, I would say, flavor to this leadership set, you know, in terms of vulnerability, respect, and openness. These are some of the things that we need to, you know, look into it throughout. Because if you are a leader, I think this is very, 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 very necessary thing that has to come along with that, right? And of course, to create an environment where people feel safe to speak up. I always go back to this topic because it's a very, very crucial point, you know, to speak up and be themselves. It's about creating trust as well, right? Showing appreciation for diverse perspectives and actively breaking down barriers. You know, it's not easy. But then leaders who prioritize this aspect, in my opinion, you know, signal that inclusiveness and psychological safety are core to the organization. You know, not just an empty words, you know, because we could probably have a whole lot of empty, you know, words here and there, but we should hold that kind of these three main pillars very, very, very important. I remember in some cases those days back when I do have a couple of meetings with my team members, you know, sometimes when we had a topic that is very, very emotional, you know, I'm the first to go, you know, and it doesn't really mean that you're a weak leader, but it shows how vulnerable you are. In all aspects, not in all aspects per se, but they could feel, you know, I can come over and discuss any topic with this guy, right? And of course,
but it you know, humanizes kind of people, right? When you show that, it humanizes you, and you're able to make a connection where, which leads me to thinking you're an empathetic leader, right? So leaders who show empathy who add that. So I want to add the word empathy to your foundation, right? I want to add that as well, because we need empathy now more than ever.
So crucial, so crucial. And empathy, it's I released a post on my LinkedIn posting, I think a week ago or 2 weeks ago, about empathy. And it's so, so crucial as one of the foundation and pillars to it. And definitely that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So going to empathy, right? How can empathy be effectively integrated into corporate leadership practices?
Yeah, that's also a very good question. Empathy in leadership starts with genuinely understanding and respecting each individual experience, right? This can be done by making time for one-on-one conversation, which of course is very, very crucial as a leader to have that conversation going on with your team and truly listening without judgment. Right, because sometimes we might probably, you know, see someone, or maybe a team member could open his mouth and say a word, we would go straight away with a judgment on that person. Sometimes it's just also very visual, right? And that is very, very clear. Leaders can also, you know, integrate empathy by regularly seeking feedback, you know, showing that kind of flexibility in response and making decisions that consider impact on people. Because this is something that I also have, I also really think it's very, very crucial, and not just the bottom line, right? This is something that we also really have to take. And in modern times, as you just, you know, said at the beginning of our podcast, training programs on emotional intelligence, you know, very, very crucial. In modern times, you could use the technology to have that kind of the different lens of that of empathy effectively affecting or integrating empathy in the team as a whole. Yeah, so this is a very, very essential that leaders also see empathy not as a soft skills. This was very important to touch on, because it's a core part of effective leadership, right? Very, very core.
I don't always like that people say empathy is a soft skill, because it's you working hard to be able to empathize with somebody else. So for those of you who don't know what empathy means, it's literally walking a mile in somebody else's shoes so that you support them and you know how to support them, but also understand that their challenges are different than your challenges, right? So you being able to walk a mile in their shoes. So a little disclosure, a little bit more about me, because you're only seeing a square where you don't see how tall I am. I'm 1.86 meters, right? The moment that I sit in a wheelchair, that's the moment that people think that I'm not able to talk, whilst I had an accident last year and I broke my ankle. It was the first time that I realized that there are so many people are making assumptions, thinking that because I'm sitting in a wheelchair that my mind doesn't work, or that my mouth doesn't work, or there's something wrong with me just because I'm sitting in a wheelchair. So I was being ignored and my partner was being addressed, right? Where you could apply empathy is ask me, can I ask you something, or do you want to know more about me, so that you can do a check-in. Where am I on the spectrum? Are you able to have a conversation with me? And no, don't make assumption, because I want to be able to make my own decision, to make my own choices, right? And for you to apply empathy, that's where I want to be. But I also understand that it's sometimes often difficult for people to place themselves in somebody else, especially if you don't have that lived experience. So therefore, there is an opportunity that you can use by applying virtual reality in real scenarios where you are able to empathize with the person and also experience exclusion in a safe way, where you are able to support your team members better. Because once you know what is invisible for you, and when you make that visible, you know that what you can do to mitigate those barriers or to mitigate those challenges as well. So I just want to address that, that there are ways for you to unlock empathy and for you to really realize that you can win. You can win during this talent shortage, right? Because there is a talent shortage at the moment right now. Just want to make sure that you see what I see. There is a talent shortage, and it's going to get worse, and people are going to fight for more talent more ever. They're even going to offer different benefits. So if your company doesn't have the same benefits, what can you do to empathize with them and to support them in whatever way? Because this number is going to get worse next year and the years upcoming as well.
And Vivian, just to highlight on your talent shortage, something that is also very, very crucial to mention here. We've seen AI coming in very, very strongly all over the place. But we should look at it with a different lens here, in the fact that AI, people are, it's all over the place, it's gonna be it's taking up our job. But nevertheless, AI is rather fostering our mindset of really empowering into learning, right? And to move on, to move on to the next level. It's not a just, you know, AI going to go take my job role, so I don't have...
No, AI shouldn't be a threat. It's not a threat, but it's also a way to provide training or retrain your people into applying different skills. And so many companies are not using that, and rather they're laying off people, not supporting them throughout their layoff. And I understand that the economics at the moment right now, it's challenging. It's challenging for many businesses. But the way you treat people during your layoff, that's going to be a deal maker or a deal breaker.
That's true.
Yeah.
Cool.
So going back to the interview, what are... practical ways, practical strategies for leaders to enhance their active listening skills, right? You mentioned active listening, you mentioned a few things. What can they do?
Engaging here is also very, 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 very important. As you just mentioned, active listening is very, very the core, fundamental as well here in this particular question that you just posed. But also engaging, you know, asking questions like, you know, open-ended questions to dive deeper into, you know, what topic is being discussed or what topic is on the table at the moment. Also reflecting back on what is said to confirm understanding is another powerful tool. Right? Yeah. Because reflection is like, you know, I'm giving you back what we've just discussed for a couple of minutes ago or an hour ago, but I just want to confirm or to reiterate that I have been listening to you all this while. So if you could reflect back on what has been discussed or confirm what has been, you know, discussed a couple of minutes ago, that really gives signal, or that gives signal back to the fellow or to the team member that, look, this guy is really listening to me. Which can say also match as words, right? Because lastly, practicing patience and resisting the urge of immediately jumping to a solution, you know, also can
or interrupting people like I'm doing right now, right? No, but all seriousness, I mean, listening, being able to apply active listening, allowing the person to talk and say their story without interrupting. So please continue, Clark.
Right. You've hit it down there, right? So this is something that I always say. Please let me land, right?
Oh, that's a good one.
Please let me land. So if you are in a very top discussion with your team member, and you could hear, you could see or feel the tempers are going very high, you know, you could really, you know, and you want to make your case across, you know, this is where I try, I've made you land your comment or your statement. Let me land as well, because that's a way of, you know, bringing in respect and building trust as well, you know, that we could use to mitigate whatever the case or the solution might be on the table, right? So, you know, active listening, fine, is perfect. But also reflection, you know, we could use some kind of techniques here, minimizing distractions, as you just mentioned. But, you know, open-ended questions as well is very, very important, just to dive deep into, you know, what topic is at stake at the moment. It's a very, very, very powerful tool here.
Definitely, definitely. And also, these practices don't only apply to leaders, right? I want to
No.
also address the self leaders in this case, right? So if you're noticing a colleague hijacking a conversation while another colleague is talking, let them, tell them, let the person land so that they can
Yeah.
continue their conversation and then allow the other person to interject or share their insights as well. Yes. So another thing that is, I feel like it's really important when it comes to psychological safety is cultural sensitivity, right? So, given the fact that so many companies, international companies, are hiring people from all over the world, how can cultural sensitivity be embedded in daily workplace interactions?
Yeah, so it is also another crucial point. Vivian, you are hitting me today with the very brilliant questions here, honestly speaking, because it really reflects back again to what I did or what I practiced way back then with my team to understand the various cultures background that individual bring along with the team. I installed a what do you call it an event where we support a charity as well. We call it the International Food Day, right? So every team member, it's not a must, but voluntarily, you could prepare a food of your background in terms of your nationality wise, bring it to the office, and we everybody could taste it, and the proceeds were given as what do you call it fulfilling some of the orphanage homes or a child's home that are next to the company. And this is a very, very, very important. Leaders can promote this by encouraging employees to share their cultural backgrounds, right? And fostering the environment of curiosity, because I want to know what you guys have been, what's your favorite dish? Not only the dish as well, but all the cultural sentiment that comes along with it, right?
The
I could give you
customs, if you need to bow or if you need to shake somebody with your left hand or your right hand, right? Because
Exactly.
I know that Clancy is also Ghanaian, so I can say this. I know that a person who's left-handed, when this person is going to Ghana, they will have a challenging time because Ghana is known for everything has to be right-handed. Everything has to be right-handed unless you're doing something that's not sanitary. Then you can use your left hand if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah, so that's and of course coming back again to the training on unconscious bias and cultural competence can help the team to be more aware of their own assumptions, right? Daily interactions such as taking time to learn correct pronunciation of names, because I've had times where people will be and I can talk about that because I'm located in Germany, and if people will call me with Clancy, they call Clancy, it's because of the A. Here it's like and Clancy, and even I'm in the UK or maybe in an Anglophone speaking country, it's going to be Clancy, right? So it's something that is very, very important. Also, how to learn how to pronounce people's names is very, very, very important, because some part of or some cultural part of people, they really lay emphasize on their name pronunciation very, very, very deeply, because it means a lot for them as well, right? So, and of course, reinforcing respect again and inclusivity is a core value. It's a value that has to be, attained or that has to be, upheld, so to say.
I wanna share a tip, but I need
Right.
to look at my profile regarding name pronunciation. So I wanna share my LinkedIn page at the moment
Right.
right now.
Right.
Wanna scan here. You see here a loudspeaker. I'm not gonna play because otherwise I'm gonna hear myself. But oftentimes when you see this loudspeaker here or this volume thing here, it means that somebody have shared their name, their pronunciation of their name. So if you don't know about LinkedIn has a name pronunciation feature where you can learn more about how you pronounce somebody else's name or you can allow others to learn your name as well. Just an FYI so that you know how to use it and where to use it as well.
Good.
Very important. Have you activated that, Clancy?
No. So this is it's an eye opener for me now. Immediately after this, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah, every time you see a volume, know that you can listen. And for those who don't have it, oftentimes when I connect with somebody and I don't know how to pronounce their names, I share this tip with them, but also ask them in a voice note, like, how do I pronounce your name? Because I don't want to step on your toes. My last name has been butchered so many times that I've reached the point where it's Aqua. It's the way you say it in Italy and in France, but we have added an extra H or extra C in it. And that's it. But sometimes it's get butchers where I'm just like, okay, but I want to be respected as well. I want to be honored as well, because my parents gave me this name and it's part of my legacy as well. So I want to be respected as well. Yeah.
That's so true.
Yeah. During our conversation, you also talked about the importance of talking about mental health, especially now where the sun is disappearing a little bit earlier than normal, right? So how can leaders create a supportive environment for mental health conversation? Because too often when any topic that is directed to mental health is being dismissed as weak, or this person is not being seen as a full person because they are going through challenges related to burnout or whatever that's related to mental health.
Yeah. So look, before I get into this particular topic, I just want to make myself also clear here that I'm not a mental health guru here, or a certified mental guru here. But as a leader, it's so crucial to have an environment that supports mental health. And it should be normalized that conversation could go in that direction as a leader. You should have an open door for open sentiment for this particular topic, because it's so important. You know, leaders can model openness, you know, by speaking about mental health proactively, you know, because if something that, if you don't talk about that, you don't even make accessible for team members to know we've got a mental department heads or a department that could support you, that's also, you know,
or even benefits that you can use so that you can hire somebody from outside, right? So maybe your company has a budget for hiring a coach or support or whatever.
Exactly. So this is very, very, very important. It's all these simple gestures that could really, you know, give the team members, oh, okay, cool, I can talk about it. I can even go to my leader and to tell me I need a support. He's not going to just put me in a box. Since, you know, he's got to know my deficit here, or he's got to know my issue here, he's not going to see in that context, but rather he's going to say, oh, I'm getting the support that I need. I'm being given the access to have this, you know, support from the organizational perspective. And this is something that I would always, you know, applaud my previous company about that. They are very, very key on that point. And I was so happy that, you know, you could direct some of anybody who needed that support to that department to have that kind of support. So it's an appeal. And here as well, whilst we're on this platform, please, if you are a team member or you're a leader, it's both ways. A leader should really, really make sure that, you know, he's creating an environment where this topic are going to be mentioned, even in a, you know, one-on-one meeting, or just some sort of signalizing, okay, you know, we've got a mental day health today for the organization, or for the whole organization indeed. You know, just sensitize that. And of course, as a leader in one-on-one conversation, hey, look, is it fatigue? You know, sometimes you can even see from a couple of things, right? You could also go in that direction and say, hey, look, this is my perspective, what I'm seeing from my lenses, you know. You know, we've got availability of support here. Take advantage of it, right? So ultimately, it's about, you know, removing any stigma and making it clear that seeking support is a strength, not a weakness.
No, and I last week I had a conversation with Mary Jane, previous conversation, and we talked about these figures, right? This is a recent study from Business Solver State of the Workplace Empathy, where they talk about 81% of the CEOs see someone with a mental health issue as weak or a burden. and also the employees, right? That percentages is really shocking. So we need to do better. We need to do better because it's not only, like Clancy's saying, like it's not only the individuals who are experiencing mental health challenges, but also the CEOs and also HR professionals, right? From the same report as well, just new, where different people are experiencing different challenges as well. So we need to be able to apply empathy or amplify empathy in a huge way, because we need all the people. I shared the talent shortages that is coming or that is present currently within Europe. And it's going to get worse if we don't take care and don't support those who are dealing with a mental health issue, don't show empathy or don't show any compassion, because we need all the people in the workforce right now.
That's true. Yep.
Okay, going back to a next question, and that is, what are the signs that a workplace might lack social, might lack psychological safety and inclusiveness?
So there are multiple signs here that a leader can easily see, or you know, individual colleagues can see, and this is also very important. If a colleague notifies something among his colleague, please don't feel shy. That, you know, you need to talk to your leader about it. It's not about, you know, your personal. It's also very, very important, because leaders, we don't have their eyes on the floor every single minute or every single hour. We are not micromanaging, right? So if you have a colleague and you are feeling that he's going through some sort of thing, please, it's very, very, very important to emphasize, or, you know, but also going back to your question, you know, there are several signs. You could see some sort of, you know, low engagement in the meeting. You could see some sort of, you know, employee turnover as well. You could also see some sort of mistakes being held back. You know, ideas, or you know, all these kind of things are psychological, you know, signs that you could really sense. And I mentioned fatigue is also very, very, very important thing that you can really easily, you know, notify or notice from your team. And this is something that you should have an eye on it as a leader, and of course have an oversight of it. And this could lead to microaggressions as well, right? Lack of inclusiveness could often lead to, you know, microaggressions here. Overpresentation of certain voices in decision making, because if you are not in a good mood, and maybe you're in a collective meeting, anything that will be echoed out in that meeting, you might have it forcefully translated in your own environment that you think, you know, oh gosh, you're finding yourself in. This is a sign for a leader as well, after the meeting, probably to call that person and have a one-on-one discussion and say, hey, look, this is my reference I've seen. If it's not being seen from that lenses, it's fine. But this is very important that you echo from your lenses point of view, right? And of course, leaders should all be attuned to these signs and be willing to address them, right? Openly. It shouldn't be kept.
And also when you see the team being stressed or under a lot of working with a high workload, right? We need to be very careful about how we place the workload upon the people that are still there, because otherwise it will trickle down to them. They'll call in sick, or they might leave the company and go elsewhere, because elsewhere they do have benefits. They do take better care of mental health. They do have budgets regarding mental health side, right? People are now checking a lot of sites like Indeed, LinkedIn, which I'm not affiliated, by the way. I'm just dropping a few names. But know that there are different platforms where people are sharing. Even the younger generation are now using TikTok, where they share the discontentment about the companies as well. And you don't want to be a TikTok meme. Your company doesn't want to be a TikTok meme as well.
And just one more point, based on my personal experience as well. You know, I'm in the tech industry, and I've been managing the or ahead of the sales team. And, you know, getting to the end of the quarter, it's a massive pressure to really get over the cross line, right? And so I could see, and I was one day with my team, and I could, you know, I was just dashing in our numbers. You know, we need to do what is missing here. I just, after the meeting, I drop back and look at my team. I could see how they're really pushing all the strings to get over the line. What I did instantly, I asked them all, we are going for a walk. And we all went for a walk. We just stopped whatever we are doing and went for a walk. you know, and we had some ice cream as well, and the weather was perfect. and this is something that you know, I always it's my leadership style. I always very close, you know, to look at a couple of things that is happening on the floor, you know, and react accordingly. So we went for a walk. We had some ice creams. We came back. You know, everybody was
like, you were refreshed. Now a lot of people are going to reach out for you saying, like, we want ice cream as well.
it's not cold. It's not ice cream time. Well, you can go for a hike. And that's one of my favorite hobbies as well. But this is an experience, my personal experience, that I could see that it really turns the mood at that moment, you know, into not active or aggressively. We need to you know, get the numbers in. We need to finish the, you know. But at the same time, you know, trying to, you know, manage the sensitivity, the pressure around, and to make sure that, you know, the team is not overloaded with a lot of things that is happening before the end of the quarter. So just to add to that.
True. Yeah. Don't forget about team building, right? So you mentioned something that you can do regarding team building. And oftentimes team building, including team building activities, is often an afterthought. And I want to encourage you to monthly think about ways that you can engage your teams. It doesn't have to be a high investment. And even if you invest costly, right, make sure that the engagement or the activity is fun and engaging and also something that people can do on themselves. But know that there are inclusive ways of providing team building activities as well. So just an FYI. And you can reach out to both me and Clancy as well regarding that, because too often team building is an afterthought, and I want to make sure that you add that to your menu where you are able to build bridges, because we are talking about building bridges and how psychological safety enhances workplace inclusion. But we have come to the end. What is your wish for 2030 to humanize the workplace, but also psychological safety and mental well-being? What would you like to see?
I love this word wish. I have a long list of wishes I've put down together. But just to summarize, my hope for 2030 or 20, you know, my wish for the future is to humanize workplace, become the norm. Not the expectation. I envision a future where every workplace prioritizes psychological safety. Mm-hmm. You know, and of course inclusivity and mental well-being. This is very, very, very key aspect, right? And of course, creating an environment where people feel empowered, engaged, and supported, you know, to be on to be authentic selves, right? Yeah. And of course, you know, love to see mental health treated with the same seriousness as a physical health. This is something that is something that we always overlook at it, because it's the physical health. But you know, we have to really you know, treat the you know, with the same seriousness, mental health or physical health. This too has to be treated or have to be seen with the same lenses, right? So these are my wishes. And of course, physical health for leaders across industries to recognize that you know, caring for their people isn't just the right thing to do. It's it's what drives the sustainable success, right? Ultimately, for me, I would say I hope you know, we could build a workplace that help individual thrive, not just as employees, you know, but as a whole human being. You know, they should be seen as a number, but they should be seen as a human being. And this is very, very, very important takeaway, or I would say wish for the coming years ahead.
Yeah, and I agree. And also, I understand that leaders are working on a lot of pressure, right? So I want to also say something encouraging for the leaders, that leaders, there is a support system for you. Reach out to me or reach out to Clancy to support you with this as well, because you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to know everything on do everything on your own, but also lean on your team, lean on your team members as well. And when you show up as an empathetic leader, you can accomplish so much more and also gain and regain and retain your talent within your team so that you are able to succeed within your team. So I want to say thank you to Clancy for this conversation about building bridges and how psychological safety enhances workplace inclusion. And hopefully until next time.
Thank you so much, Vivian, for having me here. I love the conversation. I wish to continue, but I definitely we would cross roads very soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Bye. You too. Cheers. Bye.